So I'm Marianne Birkby from Radiation Free Lakeland, and it's been going since 2008, and we've been pushing back against nuclear developments in Cumbria and elsewhere. Been successful in some respects. We stopped the nuclear dump in 2013, but now they've come back again with a vengeance. But yeah, we're pushing back really on a lot of different fronts, and obviously we're just volunteers. No funding apart from sometimes we'll do crowdfunding for specific things, and then the money is used for that specific thing. But we don't have ongoing donations or any membership donations.
I mean, I find it really bizarre, Marianne. I mean, the Lake District is one of the most beautiful parts of Britain, and yet it's deeply intertwined with the whole evolution of the nuclear industry, isn't it? Can you just give us a sort of potted history of what's been going on?
Well, you know about Sellafield, which is on the Lake District coast.
Windscale.
The
Windscale.
Windscale, yeah. Yeah, it is. It's Windscale. So really, all the nuclear waste from throughout the UK comes to Cumbria, basically, and that includes nuclear waste from not just the spent fuel, but also the things like research reactors, submarines, radioactive parts of submarines and their reactors. So basically, anything radioactive comes to Sellafield. And they.
It got renamed Sellafield, didn't it, after this horrific fire at Windscale, which at the time they tried to sort of keep a lid on it all, and there was quite a lot of radiation discharged out into the environment because of the I mean, it's a fire they said could never happen.
Yeah, well, that's what they say that all the time, don't they, with the nuclear industry. It's entirely safe, it's clean. Our track record is fantastic, and they give themselves awards for Centre of Excellence almost sort of weekly. There's some new award that Sellafield gives itself as a Centre of Excellence, or or it's promoting things sort of in the Lake District, like I don't know. It's a bit sort of bit like communist Russia. It's like the Heroes Awards and Pride of Cumbria and all that sort of,
I
which
mean,
they
is there
sponsor.
some sort of a visitor centre there? If people are up there, can they go and have a look round and put on a radioactive suit or something?
Yeah, that stopped long ago. There was a visitor centre at great cost to the public purse, but they decided to shut that down. I think it was for security risks. But yeah, there was a visitor centre, but that's no longer. I think they sort of advertised they had a little mascot, and he was called the Mighty Atom, and yeah, so it's and you can still get if you look on eBay, there's bits and pieces from the Sellafield Visitor Centre. They had the local pretty farmer, Joss Naylor. You might remember the there was an advert that had Joss with looking out over the fells with his sort of virtual reality thing, and it was like, come to the Sellafield Visitor Centre, where science never sleeps. It's really insidious, and it continues today. Although the visitor centre isn't there now, this sort of drip, drip, drip of is sort of a bread and circuses thing of giving people something lovely to look forward to. The latest thing is a diesel-powered Spanish galleon has just sailed into Whitehaven, and that's courtesy of Sellafield and Amentum, which is a defence industry that also has its hands in the nuclear industry as well. So yeah, and Sellafield has also built this new water sports centre at Whitehaven. So people can, have a splash around in the radioactively contaminated, the silt and the water there. It's quite insidious, and if you sort of let it sort of get to you too much, it's sort of like, well, why bother? And that's just what they want people to. It's like a fait accompli. It's there and they're going to continue doing this. But if nobody speaks up, then things just continue to get worse and worse. We'll just be receiving more and more nuclear waste. And, you know, not only from the existing ones that we've got now, but from new ones. So, yeah, it's really important.
Yeah, but I mean, you say that, but of course, many of the locals will be pleased because it does offer quite a lot of employment. Some of these nuclear centres, when they shut down, it almost leaves the place like a ghost town. So people do need employment, don't they?
They do, but, you know, at what price? And I agree that the waste should be repackaged as safely as possible and not, you know, just dumped underground, which is what the plan is. But the problem is they've really got so much radioactive waste now that they're trying to get rid of it in novel ways, like radioactive scrap metal, you know. And it's just everything sort of coming out of Sellafield in all these novel ways that didn't happen before.
Tell us about scrap waste. How do you know if it's radioactive?
Well, you know, they know it's radioactive. They take, for example, the you know, the flatbeds that carry the nuclear fuel from places like Hinkley and Heysham. The train flatbeds, and you know what they tell the public is that that's perfectly safe, and the radioactive waste on these flatbeds, the waste that you can see, is fully contained, and it's it doesn't leak. Well, that's not the case. It sweats, you know, even if there's no sort of chinks in that. In that box of radioactive waste, you know, in the container, the radioactive waste actually sweats through the metal, and so that's why at this is also at Workington. You've got it used to be Studsvik, and now it's Cyclif, which is EDF. They have a scrap metal recycling facility where they shot blast all the things like the. It could be anything from reactor vessel, you know, outside of things to these massive flatbeds of the rail trucks, and they sort of blast them with other metal, and take all the contamination off, which shouldn't be there in the first place, with regard to the especially regards to railway stuff, and so the shot blast then is contaminated, and that's taken to Drigg, to the low, supposedly low-level radioactive waste facility there. Yeah, and that's in Workington. That's not Sellafield. So that's another area where Sellafield has kind of exported radioactive waste. So you've got next to that facility, you've also got the nuclear laundry. And Sellafield used to do their own laundry, you know, they still do for the higher activity stuff, but for lower activity and intermediate, I think it's actually now sent to, it's sent to the, what's called the Energy Coast Laundry at Workington. And so you've got the water from that laundry is going into the local, you know, sewers. It's just incredible, really. And this is all off the back of what they call moving waste up the hierarchy. It's the novel ways of dealing with radioactive waste that accidents happen with that. And also at Workington, which is just outside Workington, this Lily Hall business estate, you've got the Lily Hall landfill, and you might remember that Sellafield accidentally dumped bags of low-level waste and one bag of intermediate-level waste into this landfill, which we opposed Sellafield having anything to do with putting radioactive waste into the landfill. But it said, oh, no, it's fine. It's all very, very low-level. but accidents happen. You know, the monitors are set at the wrong level, and there's you know, this radioactive waste actually got tipped onto the landfill. Yeah, so it's incredible. And if you, I mean, it's sort of the further you go into it, the more scary it is, really, because you've got the factory sewer at Sellafield itself. So you've got 11,000 souls there, all beavering away on them, which we like to think they're beavering away, but you know, that's not often the case. But they're there looking after the waste, and the sewage, the liquid sewage, gets put into the River Ian. So you've got a liquid discharge that goes direct into the River Ian, and then the solid stuff, you know, because they process it and make it into a sort of sewage cake, which is so hazardous. It gets trucked 250 miles to Peterborough. So Sellafield is trucking its sewage to Peterborough, to a landfill there, the Kingscliff landfill, which is absolutely insane. It's incredible.
Well, look, a lot of the purpose of Sellafield needs to be understood. Initially, excuse me, in the 1940s and 1950s, when this all started with the American atomic bomb, what we had was a need for enriching uranium and also producing plutonium. These are the two main ingredients, enriched uranium and plutonium, of the atomic weapons. And actually, you need to have somewhere like Sellafield in order to take the uranium from a civilian reactor power station to actually separate out the plutonium that's been made in the reactor. And so that plutonium can then be used in nuclear weapons. So that's actually Sellafield. They talk about it as a reprocessing, but surely that's the actual purpose of it, isn't it?
Well, it is, and that was the purpose of Windscale and Calder Hall. The exact purpose was that. I mean, the electricity is like a fleeting byproduct, and the whole purpose is the plutonium. And now we've got tons of it, 140-odd tons that, you know, the plan is just to dig a big hole under the Lake District coast and bury it. So really we've got more plutonium than we ever needed, which we didn't need any in the first place. It's just, you know, if aliens are watching us, then they will be scratching their antennae or whatever.
Yeah, and actually, yeah, it does all seem rather pointless, but it seems to me more like a sort of almost an obsession. Look, the reason that we got you on this week, Marianne, is specifically to look at a new proposal. And it's like Britain is going to be the world's nuclear dumping ground for radiation. I think we need to be really clear. All of the sites where there's power stations or, you know, the main stages in the construction of nuclear weapons, we see child leukemias, we see child cancers, we see kids dying. And it doesn't seem as if that's anywhere near the headlines where it should be. You know, there's a lot of scares of various sorts, but this is just, it seems, being forgotten about. So I was quite concerned to hear that it looks as if some Japanese nuclear waste is coming to good old Cumbria.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about the cancers and leukemias and all sorts of radiation-linked diseases. You know, there's a whole host of them. But this thing apparently has been in the pipeline for, we've just been doing a little bit of research on it, but it's been in the pipeline since, you know, like back in 2020, somewhere around there. There was a memorandum of understanding signed with the American companies that actually do a lot of the work on Sellafield, like Jacobs, Amentum, Cavendish Nuclear, So there's a whole Babcock. There's a whole lot of companies that signed a memorandum of understanding with the Japanese Atomic Energy Authority about this fast breeder reactor, you know, which produces plutonium. And the understanding was that you know, those companies would help Japan with decommissioning the reactor, and obviously there's been some deals done whereby you know the UK is looking to take on the Japanese sodium coolant that you know goes around the fast breeder reactor in, I don't know, a load of complex loops and things. And but this Monju reactor, I think it only worked for 250 days, and it's cost $7.5 billion. So it's you know, a huge sort of drain of Japan's economy. For what reason? Just to produce a load of contamination. And so this deal that's been done, you know, it and what is so hair-raising is that our Cumberland Council have already given the developers the okay to clear the land at the Port of Workington for this processing factory that would take the sodium coolant and process it into the thing of, you know, that there's no real sort of there's no real absence of caustic soda. But that's what they're proposing should be, you know, we take this radioactively contaminated sodium coolant and process it into caustic soda. And I mean, caustic soda in itself is, you know, a pretty nasty substance. You've got at Runcorn, they produce it in spades. And earlier this year, there was a massive opposition to a new development, new housing development near Runcorn, near the caustic soda chemical plant and the chlorine chemical plant. And there was a public inquiry, and the inspector found that the health and safety executive had actually said that this would be dangerous because it's so close, it would be so close to the chemical plant. If there's an accident, then you get a cloud of caustic soda, sodium hydroxide, I think it's called in its, you know, proper term. If you get a cloud of sodium hydroxide going across, it, you know, it just burns people's eyes and lungs, soft tissue. So that's with no radioactive element. So that was turned down by planning inspector. So this government turned down through the planning inspector a housing development that would have been, I think, probably a couple of miles away from the chemical plant. Whereas here in Cumbria, they're proposing having not just producing caustic soda from this sodium coolant, but the sodium coolant itself would be radioactively contaminated. So it would be basically a radioactive slash chemical plant that would be within about 400 metres of residential area at the Port of Workington. So that's just, it's a huge scandal. And what is galling is that democracy seems to have been brushed under the carpet with Cumberland Council actually giving the developers of this plan free range to actually go ahead and, you know, clear the land ready for a radioactive chemical plant. So it's
so have they actually got their planning permission?
They haven't got planning. They said it will be going ahead subject to the regulatory controls and planning. Well, if the planning is controls are by the local council, Cumberland Council, who have actually given the okay to the developers to clear the site. That's a massive sort of predetermined thumbs up from the council. And all the noises in the local paper are that, oh, this is fantastic. It's going to bring 20 jobs to the area. You know, it's like, well, have they lost their minds? I mean, are they so in hock to the nuclear industry that they're prepared to risk the health and safety of people in Workington and further afield?
Yeah, well, it sounds to me like this could be the Americans, couldn't it? I mean, the Americans are very close, obviously, to the Japanese nuclear industry. And I've noticed, too, that, for example, the British government have just given the thumbs up quietly to the Americans to bring back nuclear weapons to Suffolk and put them there, too. So it does seem to me that the Americans have, you know, behind many of these things. Anyway, look, could you just give us a sort of how people can find your campaign, follow you, donate, or keep up to date with all this sort of stuff, please, Marianne?
Right, thanks for that. Yeah, if you just look up Radiation Free Lakeland, we've got a website there. We've got we're on the Substack as Radiation Free Lakeland, and we've got a dedicated campaign called Lakes Against Nuclear Dump. So yeah, any of those you will find us, and yeah, the more support the better. I mean, as we're fighting on a number of fronts, and too many fronts. But yeah, it's the more help the better. But this thing in Workington is kind of it's just so cynical of the local council and the nuclear industry, who I think feel as though they've got Cumberland Council sort of right under the thumb.
Okay, Marianne Birkby from Radiation Free Lakeland, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Tony, and thanks for everything that you do to raise awareness